Hi, Michaela Lafrac here. The podcast you are about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. When you need to grab some ingredients for dinner, where do you go? Or maybe you're in need of laundry detergent, some stamps, a six-pack of beer. Is there a big grocery store nearby that has everything you need? In a lot of our rural communities, the answer is no. Historically, residents relied on locally run general stores. But being in the general store business ain't easy. The profits are small, the buildings need a lot of upkeep, and the hours are long. Plus, many rural communities are getting smaller, which means the customer base is getting smaller too. Across our region, communities are banding together to highlight the importance of their general stores and figure out ways to not only keep them open, but locally owned and managed. That is the subject of our show today, and we really want to hear from you. Tell us what your general store means to you, or if you don't have one, and if that's fine by you, tell us why. You can write us now at vermontedition@vermontpublic.org or call in at 800-639-2211. The effort to save a general store is going on right now in the town of Stratford, a 1,000-person town in Orange County. I went down and visited late last year. It's in a white building with an old gas pump and a couple parking spots outside. Let's listen together.
Hi, sweet pea.
Hi, you darling.
Okay, how are you?
I'm good.
This is Coburn's General Store. Chrissy Jameson is working the checkout, chit-chatting as customers buy hamburger meat, beer, cat food, and cheese.
The cat treats, so cats were mad.
They don't want mad cats.
I know. Put the Christmas tree in.
Her parents, Sue and Melvin Coburn, have owned this store for 47 years. The Coburns are ready to retire, and their daughter wants a job with better hours. They put the store on the market a few years ago, but didn't get any good offers. Here's Melvin, who's 80 years old.
You know, you're talking 12, 13 hour a day total and everything. You know, 6 days a week, it adds up after a while. But I tell people, it doesn't seem like a job to me because I just love it so much.
To save the general store, a group of locals has set up a nonprofit community trust. Their plan is to buy the store and then lease it out to a store operator. Under this model, Coburn's has to be locally run. It can't be turned into apartments or sold to a chain. That's really important to Lori Birkenkamp. She's on the board of the trust.
Going to Coburn's is my social outlet. My kids are adults now, and they can come back and see people, run into their teachers and people that they knew when they were kids. It's like our town's living room in a way.
Teenagers often get their first job at the store, and second homeowners cross paths with dairy farmers. Sue Coburn says you need good people skills.
Because you got to be able to connect with all walks of life, not just certain people. And we get all kinds. You get young, old, farmers, high society. Yeah, so you got to be able to treat them all the same.
They have their fingers on the pulse of the community. And whenever there's any need in the community, they're there.
That's Trudy Brock, the president of the nonprofit's board.
And I think that's something you don't get at a Maplefield or 7-Eleven, where people get gas and they get coffee, beer, and cigarettes or whatever and go on their way. People go and walk into Coburn's and generally hang around.
The nonprofit needs about $1.8 million to buy the store and pay for repairs. The building is more than 100 years old. One of the first people to donate to the effort was Lori Birkenkamp's son, Noah Kahn, the Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter. He featured Melvin Coburn's voice in the song The View Between Villages on his hit album Stick Season.
Well, I guess it's a small community of people that really look out for each other. And that's the same way with anybody that needs it.
This community-supported enterprise model, as it's called, has worked well for stores in other Vermont towns. Putney, Guilford, Shrewsbury.
Albany, Elmore,
East Callis.
Ben Doyle is the head of the Preservation Trust of Vermont. He's helped multiple towns establish community trusts for their general stores. He says the model helps young, motivated proprietors get into the business without having to drop a ton of money up front.
There's a ton of deferred maintenance, and the margins are really, really small.
And sometimes running a store isn't what the operator envisioned. If they want out, the store will stay a store, and the trust will just lease it to another person. Despite the long hours and slim margins, Melvin Coburn says he loves this store. It's home. He can't really imagine life without it.
And I've even said I'd be willing to work for the new owner here if it was position was available. They needed some help.
So your vision of retirement involves getting a job working at Coburn's General Store.
Well, possibly, I guess. I don't know. You know, I'd like to find something, as I say, for a couple of days. It doesn't have to be at Coburn's General Store, but I am going to miss it. I have to say that very much, because after, as Sue said, after 47 years of walking across the street every day, it's going to be a big change.
It's pretty.
It really is, yeah.
As you heard in that story, Stratford is far from the only town following this model. Here to tell us more today is Ben Doyle in Montpelier, who you just heard in that story. He's the president of the Preservation Trust of Vermont. It's a nonprofit that works to preserve historic buildings, villages, and downtowns around the state. Ben, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Yeah, we're so glad to have you alongside Emily McClure. She runs the general stores in Craftsbury and Albany, known as the Jenny. They're both in the Northeast Kingdom. Emily, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for taking time out of what I'm sure is a very busy day today to be with us. Ben, let's start with you. First, when people hear the Preservation Trust of Vermont, they might think historic churches or old schoolhouses. Tell us how you got into the business of general stores.
Yeah, that's a thanks for that question. You know, I think we are about all of those things, preserving, you know, churches and villages. But really, the way I like to think about it is preservation is about preserving the future and the future vitality of our rural communities. And, you know, there's probably no place that's more important to rural vitality in a village than a general store. You know, that those are often an economic driver of the community. It circulates wealth locally. And also, it's just a gathering place where people can come together to meet their neighbors. And so when we think about what does it mean to preserve Vermont or preserve a village in Vermont, I think really what we're talking about is, like, you know, either the ecosystem or the infrastructure that makes that town work. And the general store is really at the heart of that.
Mm. So that means, Emily, you are at two hearts of two different towns. Can you tell us a little bit, for folks who haven't visited either of the stores you're involved with, what they're like, what they look like, what you sell, what the scene is like there day to day?
Sure. Our flagship store is in Craftsbury. The building is, I think, from 1855.
Wow.
And has been a store ever since. And there's a little post office attached to it. It's a, you know, has a really quintessential Vermont village feel. And our store in Albany is a newer construction. It's been 3 years since the construction finished. And it has, you know, it's white clapboard and, you know, the blue under the porch. And, you know, it really feels, it was built to feel like it has been there for a long time.
Hmm. And these stores, they both have a little bit of a different history in terms of how they operate today and your involvement. Let's start with Craftsbury. That's the store that got you to come back to Vermont from L.A. where you were living, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Craftsbury, this was now 12 and a half years ago. I was living in Los Angeles and, you know, really wanted to come back home, but had quite the entrepreneurial spirit and had this strong draw to Craftsbury, where there was, you know, the local movement felt really vibrant. And I thought, oh, I could probably sell a kale salad in this town. And so, you know, that one I was able to purchase personally and since have brought on two amazing partners, Kit Basem and Jana Smart. And the three of us have a you know, have a really amazing working relationship, which is, I think, the reason that we've been successful in both of our locations.
Mm. And then tell us about the Albany store, because that's a different store. You didn't buy it outright in the same way, right?
Correct. Yep. So Albany, we were lucky enough to work with Paul Bruhn before Ben stepped in with the Preservation Trust. That was a local trust formed, Albany Community Trust, and they worked with Paul and Ben to form an entity that could purchase the property and then lease it out to an operator, which became us. That building specifically, the asking price, you know, was fair market, but just there was a lot of work that needed to be done to the property. And in hindsight, now that the whole thing is done, there was no way that was ever going to work out on paper for a store owner.
Yeah. Yeah, Ben, I'd love to hear a little bit more about these maintenance issues that can create a barrier for a store being bought by somebody who is interested in running a store, but you know, looks at that upfront cost and then all these other costs and says, oh boy, like that is out of my price range and range of abilities as well. What are some of those maintenance issues that you come across regularly?
Well, I think actually Albany's a great example of that. You know, there had been a store there for a number of years. The building, I think, originally was from the 1970s, mm-hmm. so not super historic, but older. And then there was a fire, and the store had actually shut down for, I think, about at least 5 years.
Nine.
Yeah. So it'd been shut down for a while. And, you know, the idea of somebody coming in, a private entrepreneur, and just being able to have the capital to renovate that store and turn it into something that was as dynamic as it is today was really tough, you know. And so that's where a nonprofit entity that has the ability to solicit tax deductible donations or apply to grants or tax credits, things like that, that provides a source of funding and capital for the renovation of these buildings that, again, the private entrepreneur typically doesn't have access to. But, you know, in more generally, you know, I think actually Melvin Colburn said this, that, you know, that in a lot of ways it's similar to dairy farming in that you have a kind of multi-generational business. It's often passed down from generation to generation. But there's a lot of deferred maintenance with small margins, right? And, you know, over the course of 30 or 40 years, that deferred maintenance can end up to the point when there's a transfer of the property. You know, sometimes the kids are like, you know, we can't take this on. Or, again, the private market says, well, that's an interesting business opportunity, but I don't have $500,000 to invest to make a go of it. And so, again, this is, in a lot of ways, the truth is the community-supported enterprise model that we're talking about is really a market workaround, you know, that it's a way in which we can keep these businesses viable and reactivate them for the kind of next generation.
I'm glad you brought up that comparison to farming, because we got a similar note from Mark in Elmore, who's a member of the Elmore Community Trust. And Mark writes, "It's been said that running a general store has more in common with farming than most anything else. Margins are thin. You have to make hay when the sun is shining. Those that do not adapt to community needs invite disaster. Stores also evolve over the generations, as can be witnessed by a drop in the number of casks of molasses or bolts of calico sold. Stores also change with the seasons, from the first time sunscreen and floaties show up on the shelves to the enviable ice scrapers and traction sand. There's no doubt that alternatives exist, but big box stores and online ordering fail to share the alchemy of convenience, personal connection, and shared everyday experience that's found in our general stores." We also have Trevor calling in Elmore. So, Trevor, I'm guessing you might also be part of the Elmore Community Trust. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm on the Board of Trustees for the Elmore Community Trust.
How has that effort been going there in Elmore?
It's been good. It's been a few years since we raised the money in the community to purchase the building, and we have had a couple of operators and some bumps and bruises along the way, but the support that we've received from the community has been really amazing, and that's what kind of keeps us going. I mean, we're all pretty tired on the board with all of the work and stress involved. But like every day we have people in the community coming up to us and explaining how important the store is and offering whatever they can do to help us out.
I'm so glad to hear that, Trevor. Thank you so much for calling in. Yeah, it's a lot of work for the trust itself, as well as for the operator. Emily, as I'm sure you know, could you tell us a little bit about what your day-to-day is like in the store? We got an email from Robert who asked, how does the store owner or manager manage work-life balance?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, this has been a true evolution, right? Our days look much different than they did 12 years ago when I first bought the store, and that was for sure, six days a week, 10-hour days. But we have an amazing staff, and I think especially through COVID, we really learned, how to delegate and empower our staff to do some of the legwork and to really be part of the process. So on an average day, on a Monday is a heavy ordering day for our crews and myself. I'm usually ordering for Albany, and Kit is usually ordering for Craftsbury from a few of our vendors that day. There's so many different elements. I mean, I get an email on Monday morning that's like, the toilet seat's broken, you got to put those shelves up. You have a call with Ben Doyle, you've got to put in your orders. It really...
You're never bored.
You're never bored, yeah.
And Ben, you're also closely involved in running Pierce's General Store in Shrewsbury. Does that follow the same community enterprise model that we're talking about today?
It does. It's actually, that's an incredible store. Everybody should go there. It it was run by multiple generations of the Pierce family. And then finally, when Marjorie Pierce, the last proprietor, passed away, she actually donated the store to the Preservation Trust on the condition that it is maintained as a store. And so, following the community support and enterprise model, the trust put out an RFP looking for a community group or a proprietor to run the store. And we were lucky enough that a group of residents got together and said, we really believe a co-op would work here. And so they formed a co-op, and we have a lease agreement with them where, they cover the basic expenses of the building and then run it as a co-op. And I have to say, I was there just last week, and they have new general managers there who returned to Vermont from San Francisco. And I have to say, I had the best turkey sandwich I've had in years at Shrewsbury Co-op. It was fantastic. Wow. And so they're just doing a great job. And it was like just really exciting to see young people returning to Vermont with entrepreneurial spirit and energy, who are in Vermont by choice. I think places like Pierce's, provide them with an opportunity to use their skills and to be entrepreneurs, but also to be part of a community that feels authentic and welcoming.
We got an email from Annie in Stratford, who writes, for over 20 years, I had a small retail store and faced many of the same challenges of general stores. I chose to close my doors. We lose more than we know when we lose small businesses in our rural communities. Being part of the work to buy our local general store, Coburn's, revitalizes me. What a joy to work on a project we can all agree on, to buy the general store and hold it in community. And Annie also has a question for our guest. She wonders, is this model sustainable as it scales bigger? Is there a place for so many nonprofits in the marketplace? Will we all be competing for the same dollars to repair and develop these enterprises? Ben, I'd pose that question to you.
Yeah, and that's a great one. And I just have to give a shout out to Annie, who's just done an incredible job with the whole team of the Stratford Community Trust, and what they're doing is really incredible. And so I just want to really acknowledge their efforts. And I think it's a good question. I think sometimes in Vermont, we tend to sometimes have a scarcity mentality of there's only so many resources available, or like, how can we all have general stores? But the truth is, I think it's we just need to be looking at it differently, that, what is the price of community? And how are we going to come together to keep Vermont the kind of place that we want? And, I think as we see more of these, frankly, I think there's really great opportunities for creating networks between the stores, thinking about shared purchasing, different marketing, management, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's kind of ironic, right? But when we think about like where the chains have been successful, maybe we could steal some of their lessons to make local more successful and sustainable.
Emily, I'd love your thoughts on that too, especially if there are, certain types of products or business strategies that help you all really turn a profit? I mean, we talked about delis earlier. What helps?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're nailing it right there. Our deli is a cornerstone for both of our locations. And that is my partner Jana's. That's really her realm. But I think the impact, you know, the margins on just average grocery items are really slim. So when it comes to stuff that we're making in-house, we, you know, have the ability to raise that margin and to increase our revenue, and also to really give the community what they need, right? Folks are like bringing their kids to basketball practice and running to school board meetings or whatever, and you just need to grab a meal. And, you know, for our standards, ours are pretty darn good. And so, you know, that helps ease just everyday life for folks in our community.
Mm. We got an email from Linda in Benson who wrote in about the Benson Village store, which burned down in 2019. After the fire, Linda wrote, a few people removed the charred gingerbread, hoping that we could someday replace that familiar building. The bench where generations of students have sat waiting for the bus was saved in the fire and is waiting to be replaced on the new porch. We loved, appreciated, and engaged in our store. It was part of us. We are supported in our efforts to rebuild the Benson Village store by the Preservation Trust of Vermont. We will be sure to have a large porch where the bench will sit and allow future generations to wait for a school bus or have a cup of coffee with a friend. Let's go to the phones now. We have June in Grafton on the line. June, what are your thoughts listening to this conversation?
Hi, I live down in Grafton, Vermont, and I own and operate MKT, which is the general store. It's in a building that was built in 1841, and it's been a general store just like Emily's original building since its existence. And I came from a different place to take on this project, and 9 years in, I feel as though I'm always a student, but I have a lot of insight into how big this project has become and how much bigger it was than I initially thought it to be when I started.
Mm. Well, thank you, June, for calling in. Ben, are you familiar with the Grafton store?
Yeah, it's a great store. Yeah. And Grafton's actually a really interesting example, right? Grafton Village or the Grafton Village Inn. You know, again, that's a community-supported enterprise, essentially. You know, it's owned by the Wyndham Foundation and provides, you know, a really an economic driver for that community. But I have been to that store. It's also lovely.
Let's go to Sally in Shrewsbury next. Sally, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Sally Dinesher, I was one of the organizers of reopening Pierce's store in North Shrewsbury. We're actually the Shrewsbury Co-op at Pierce's store. And I was on the board, I was manager, and I keep trying to retire. I am actually retired from it now.
What do you love about the store, Sally?
Well, it's nothing different than anyone else has been talking about, that sense of community. I think the one aspect of that, it's not only seeing your neighbors, but it's also being an information source. Hmm. Hurricane Irene was a perfect example where many of the roads in town were a hill town, and many of the roads were completely washed out. Mm. And once the store, we had to close because there's a small stream that was no longer a small stream with 10 inches of rain filling it from two, you know, mm-hmm. the mountains. And we had to close the store. But once we were able to get back in and there was no longer a risk of flooding right there, we were one of the few places in town that actually had power because in our second or third year, we had purchased a generator.
Oh, very wise, Sally. And yes, I hear you echoing this sentiment that Emily and others said today about your store being the heart of the community, especially in grave and serious and scary times like a flood, like Tropical Storm Irene. I want to add one more voice to the conversation here. State Rep Mark Mahaley, he's a Democrat representing the Washington 6th District, and he lives in East Calais, where he was closely involved in efforts to save that town's general store. Representative, thanks for calling in.
My pleasure.
So tell us a little bit about the East Calais store. It was built, was it 1850? Is that right?
That's correct. It was built in 1850 and pretty much had been a store continuously until it went out of business a few years ago. And we formed the East Calais Community Trust following pretty much the Preservation Trust model and raised, I think if we'd known how much it was cost and how complicated it would be, I don't know if we would have done it, but we raised $2.8 million.
At least you're honest.
From 31 different sources, federal and state grants. But the key thing really here is the Preservation Trust model. These stores are the center of our towns. If we believe towns matter, then we have to fight for these stores. And the problem is, in many cases, the highest and best use, to use a real estate term, in terms of profitability, is just to turn them into houses for residential use. And that's why we lose them. You know, the landlord who owns the store building just puts it up for sale and it sells for a house. That happened in Woodbury. Or, when it's sold because the couple that has owned the store for 50 years is tired and it turns into a house. The great thing about the Preservation Trust model is that there's a nonprofit in charge that owns the building, leasing it out to a store operator. And if something happens and the store operator gets tired or doesn't want to do it anymore, the nonprofit is devoted by its own charter to making sure that it remains a store.
Mark,
so that's how we keep them.
Excuse me, Representative. I'm wondering if you have any advice for other communities who might want to follow in East Calais's footsteps.
You need to form a cohesive little group. It doesn't have to be more than four or five people. And create a nonprofit, which is really easy in Vermont. And I think you have to start to raise money locally, but there are many grant sources, and the Preservation Trust really is essential to the process. They can serve as a fiscal agent and take donations. They give you advice. They can help you find initial sources of grants. The Vermont Housing and Conservation Board runs a program called READY, which is a program that can give grants of up to 10,000, I think, literally within a few weeks to help people get started.
And lastly, Representative, I wanted to ask you about one specific thing with the East Calais General Store. I see that it's a fossil-free store. What exactly does that mean, and why was that important to the community?
I think it reflected community values. It means that the store, everything in the store runs off of electricity, which in our area is all 100% renewable. There's no oil heating. It's all heat pumps. And there's no natural gas, et cetera. The only exception might be if we have to get a generator in case of power outage. But, it's entirely based on high-efficiency electricity. It's weatherized. The building, the building was 100 years old. It was built originally without electricity or anything, and now it's a state-of-the-art building good for another 100 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Representative Mark Mahaley, thank you so much for telling us
about
the East Calais store.
Thank you very much. I'm going to have to take off, and your show is great, as is, and Ben Doyle is doing a fabulous job.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. So when the Woodbury store closed in that area, it created this food desert from East Montpelier all the way to Hardwick, which was tough for the community to have to drive pretty far to get food and basics. Emily, I'm wondering if this concept of food deserts comes up in the towns where you work. Like, are there other options besides the two stores you run for people who want to get food?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think both locations are several miles. I would say we're 10 minutes from Hardwick in Craftsbury and Albany. There's another small store in Irisburg, Ray's Market. And then there's the CNC in Barton. And then otherwise you're heading up to the bigger box stores. you know, whether it be a Hannaford's or a Price Chopper or a Walmart, you know, at least 15 to 20 miles away. Hmm. So the, yeah, feeling like we have what folks need locally was incredibly important to us and really mission-driven, I would say, to not have to make folks drive all the way to Morrisville to get their gallon of milk or, you know, their dinner for that evening. Yeah. And that idea of folks coming in and while they're grabbing their pizza on a Friday night, they're seeing their neighbor, they're finding, you know, out what time the basketball game is the next day or, you know, how someone fared with a fire next door. I mean, all these things are really part of our everyday existence in both these locations.
Bet, I imagine that that presents a bit of a catch-22 for property owners and for towns where, you know, you want, like Mark Mihaly just said, you know, sometimes it pays a little bit better to turn your building into apartments or sell it as a house. But, you know, if people want to live in a town that has a general store too. So it's going to be easier to find tenants that want to stay if you have a store, right?
Yeah, you know, and I think what Mark didn't mention but is really worth talking about with East Calais General Store is that, you know, it's a large building and there are three housing units in that building that are perpetually affordable, right? And that was one of, you know, the real talking about values, that was one of the things that they really talked about with that group is that, you know, yes, we want a vibrant store for a village that works, but we also want to continue to maintain this housing and have it be affordable and perpetually affordable. And so I think that's a great example. I think, you know, a lot of these kind of classic general stores have housing options above them. But I think, you know, to the other point, it's, I mean, I'm one of those people, you know, I'm an optimist by nature, but I honestly believe that people are going to come to Vermont. When we see what's happening in California right now or just the national scene, I think people are going to come to a place like Vermont based on values. And, you know, they're either going to move to Burlington or they're going to try and find someplace else to live. And when you have a choice about where you want to live, it's going to be someplace that has vibrancy or someplace where you can, you know, integrate into a community or be welcome to a community. And, you know, the truth is when you go to a Maplefields and, you know, you want to buy a gallon of milk, you're interacting with a scanner, right? That does things on algorithms. But when you're going to Albany, you're interacting with Emily or her staff, you know, that high school kid that's running the register and they pay attention to what's important to you, what, you know, what you're asking for, what you need, and they're responsive. And I think that's why they're successful. You know, I think one of the things that's really interesting about the Jenny is just the difference in the products from, you know, from Craftsbury to Albany. That's, you know, not what, 20 miles, not that far away, but they are responsive to their community in a way that, you know, dollar stores or Maplefields can't do.
Let's go right back into the phones. We have John in Stratford on the line. John, go ahead.
Thank you so much. I've been a patron of Coburn's for the entire 47 years, and one of the things that I've noticed and appreciated, I'm sure is true in other stores as well, is that Coburn's just don't run the store. They also, in some ways, keep an eye out for everybody in the community. Sue, for many years, was a town service officer. Melvin, Sue and Chrissy have all been active and leaders in the local Lions Club, and it's part of running not only the store but running the town that they do. And the second thing is that the other institution besides Coburn's that make vibrant local rural communities are our local schools, and we shouldn't forget those as well. They and the general stores work in tandem to make communities really vibrant.
Hmm. Thank you, John, so much for your call and for sharing those stories of Sue and Melvin Coburn. Rosie is also calling in from Stratford. Rosie, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Echoing some of what you've already heard, I'm part of the group that's working to save Coburn's. It's fun to hear John call in. I think what you're hearing is that general stores really help provide resiliency in our towns, whether that's the food supply chain and helping avoid food deserts, or whether that's disaster response and climate resiliency. You know, Coburn's also often has power when everybody's out of power, and that's where you go to get a warm cup of coffee or warm up if you don't have power at your house. It's also where you go to get information. But I think maybe one point that hasn't been made is, you know, as we face a mental health crisis among young people, I think that general stores help build mental resiliency and support mental health within our towns. It's kind of the stuff you can't get on Instagram is what you get when you go to the general store. You know, Sue really looks you in the eye and says, how you doing? And that's different. And I think the challenges to saving these places are many, whether that's deferred maintenance or permitting. And people like us that are working on the Stratford store, we don't necessarily have any experience solving for those problems. So the challenges are big, but the places like Coburn's and stores like it are the things that nourish our towns, and they're why we live in Vermont.
Rosie, that's such an interesting point, and I'm so glad you brought up the role that teens and young people play at these stores. When I was in Stratford at the Coburn store, the proprietors, Sue and Melvin, were telling me about how a lot of teens get their first job at the store and that they feel really proud to see those kids learn conversation skills and develop self-confidence throughout, say, a summer there. Emily, I'm wondering if you noticed the same thing.
Oh, yeah. It's like really probably one of the sweet spots of store ownership is, you know, you really, like, we know the kids, we know the elders in our community, but so many of those kids have come through our have become parts of our team and our workforce, and not necessarily just directly from the Crass-Bear Albany community, but from neighboring communities. We have held had several students from Hazen that have been, you know, just cornerstones of our kitchen. And we've had some a woman that comes back, she's now a junior in college, Olivia, that you know, produces our Christmas video for us, and then also works behind the counter and, you know, just jumps back in seconds. And so I think, you know, there's a real beauty in watching kids grow up right within your institution.
Ben, I'm wondering, for folks who are listening, who come from communities that either have a general store that's struggling or used to have one and wish they could figure out a way to bring it back, but maybe are hearing some of these towns and say, you know, our town doesn't have that much, I don't know, disposable income, or folks who have a lot of time to join a board and figure out how to navigate all of these regulations and permits and grant writing and this. What kind of support can the Preservation Trust of Vermont or another organization that's out there provide to those communities?
Well, you know, first I would say it's a team sport, right? Like the Preservation Trust of Vermont, like, yeah, we love working with general stores and with communities, but there's a lot of nonprofit organizations and a lot of great, actually, state agencies that, you know, whether it's Northern Borders Regional Commission or USDA Rural Development or Agency of Commerce, it's definitely a team sport. Vermont Housing and Conservation Board, as Mark said. But to your question of, you know, communities that maybe have lost a store or thinking about how to do this, you know, one of the reasons I'm involved in this work is because I feel like a general store is a really egalitarian place, right? Where it doesn't matter how much money you have or what class you are. It's everybody's the same in the general store, you know, and that's the kind of beauty of it. And I would say, like, in terms of these communities that save them, like, yeah, there are some wealthy towns that have been able to pull this off. But, you know, there's also some towns that are pretty economically challenged that have been able to do it and make it work. And so, you know, I would say if you're a community that is worried about your general store, first of all, go there, support it, buy your food there, tell the proprietor they're doing a great job. And then if you've lost your store, you know, I would say start talking to your neighbors. Talk about, you know, what that store meant to you and what your hopes are for the future of your community. And, you know, in terms of, and you can always call us, you know, I think what I like to think of us as a community group's first and longest friend, you know, and so we'll help you, like, think about what's the roadmap look like, how do we do a buildings condition assessment of this building, how do you raise money, where are the grants, who are the people you need to talk to with permitting, who are the architects, you know, that's our jam, so we're happy to help.
Emily, do you similarly have any words of encouragement for folks who are in a town that want to follow in the path of, say Albany?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm certainly going to echo what Ben said. And I think, you know, we've also been a sounding board for a lot of communities, too. So, like, call stores that are working, you know, in your neighboring towns, figure out what's working and what's not working. I think, you know, small businesses working together, you know, there's just great strength in that. And I think it really is the, you know, I one of your callers mentioned resiliency, and I just feel so strongly about just really keeping our money as local as possible. It goes so far when we do that, you know, when we're buying our greens from the farm, from Bread Seed that's 2 miles up the road, right? Like that money, then he's coming back in and he's buying, you know, beef from down the road, or the money just stays longer and is so much more powerful than going to a Walmart.
You know, can I just offer one other quick piece of advice? If you're really interested in it, what I would do is get in the car, go down to Guilford, go to the Guilford Village store, and then drive up to Putney on 91, check out that store, then go up, you know, get off Montpelier, go to East Callis, look at that, drive over to Elmore, right? Go over the mountain, go to Craftsbury, go to Albany, like...
Better have your snow tires on. Jeez, Ben.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But, you know, I think actually one of the things that we do with Preservation Trust is, you know, when we have towns calling us all the time about this, we've actually just like rented a bus before and gone on a road trip. And, you know, seeing is believing. And I would just encourage you to go out and explore these places. And again, support them. You get, you know, get some, if nothing else, you'll get some great chocolate chip cookies.
Well, let's go back to the phones. We have Olivia calling in from Callis. Olivia, go ahead.
Hey, Ben and Emily. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Olivia.
Hey, Olivia.
Has anybody else phoned in from Callis? I haven't been listening.
We talked to Mark Mahaley from East Callis.
Okay. So I don't know if Mark said, but Callis is unusual in that we have three general stores, and each is owned in a different community structure. We have Adamant, which is the oldest co-op in the state, 1935. And it's still a co-op going strong. We have East Callis, as you know, with the trust, community trust model. And in Maple Corner, people that decided to go as a C-Corp. And there are 2,200 share owners. And certainly, Ben and Emily, you have been of great service to us, even though we're not your model, so to speak. But when you guys came, it was so... when we were struggling a little bit, I really wanted Emily to come and consult with us, and Ben wrote a check that met some funds, and so Emily came to talk to our new manager, Jamie Morby, who's still there and going strong. And Jamie grew up across the street from the store, and so she is very devoted to it. And I think one of the things that's made a difference for us and also the other two stores in town is prepared food. Mm. And maybe you've talked about that. But and you were an inspiration to us, Emily, in doing that because your food is great and plentiful. And so now ours is too.
We have- Olivia, I'm going to jump in here because we're nearing the end of the hour and I have a couple more things I want to get to. But I'm really glad we got to shout out the deli again. A listener left us a voicemail about the West River Community Project just now, which is in West Townsend. And I want to play it for you because they say that's really an integral part of the community there.
They have music, programs, meals for the community. It's the hub of the community for clothing and other needs for people living in that area. And I just think that they have a beautiful thing happening there, and that would supplement what I just heard about Pierce's store in Shrewsbury. And I really support all of the general stores in Vermont as often as I can. Buy local and keep things local and keep Vermont beautiful.
Mm. Well, thank you for that voicemail. So it's a general store adjacent venture, it sounds like. Ben, have you heard of this place in West Townsend?
You know, I haven't. I'm excited to hear about it. But I think it does speak to this idea of, you know, we've talked a lot about these community trust organizations forming to purchase and own the store. But I think it's to be honest, their ambitions don't just end with the store, right? Mm-hmm. I think really what they serve as is an entity that can do rural economic development in small towns in a way that's not happening otherwise, you know. And I think, I know for the folks in Elmore, for example, are already looking forward to their kind of next project. They're tired, but they're but they're also an incredible group of people. And so we've seen a lot of communities form these community trusts, maybe to start us, you know, to save a store, but they often move into other kind of community programs or projects that are really important to the vitality. Because the truth is, nobody's coming to save these small towns, right? It's people got to step up and
well, Emily
and
is.
Some incredible
Emily's
leaders.
Doing it.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Certainly far from alone.
Well, I want to make sure we share some messages that we got on Instagram. We asked for shout outs on Vermont Public's Instagram to folks' favorite general store in the area, and we wanted to hear what you buy there. And I'll read a couple now. One person wrote in about the Barnard General Store's pancakes made by the owner, Jillian Brady, who is a mom of two. Shout out to Jillian. You sound busy. Willie's in Greensboro. They like to buy anything there because they have everything. We got some love for the Warren Store and for Pratt's, Ripton Country Store, Sherman's Store in Rupert. Keeler Bay Variety in South Hero. One person writes that they lived next to it for a few years and they had everything. The Wayside in Arlington apparently has the best breakfast sandwiches. The Jenny got some love, Emily. Woo-hoo. RIP the Sharon Trading Post. Plainfield Hardware's Deli Food got a shout out, as well as Shelburne Country Store's Maple Creamies. Emily, are you all in the Maple Creamy business?
Oh, yeah. You can't not be in the Maple Creamy. Yeah. Just in our Albany location, Craftsbury, well, there's actually two stores in Craftsbury. There's the Sea Village, which is pretty much across the street, and us. And when we first bought the store, one of the most important things was being in community with the store across the street. And we've had a really great working relationship, and they already had creamies, so we didn't want to step on any toes.
Makes sense. Yeah, in the moments we have left, Emily, I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about that web of connection that your businesses have built and continue to build in Albany and Craftsbury. Are there other examples of how you work in concert with other local businesses?
Yeah, I mean, for sure through purchasing, right? I mean, I think, you know, whether it's local eggs or, you know, greens, or someone's knitting a hat or painting a picture, or, you know, those type of things, certainly we're, you know, working with community there. But also, we're in partnership a lot with other organizations. Right now, we're trying to do some programming in the community room that the Albany Community Trust, you know, was felt really strongly about having. And it's great. It's where people can go and eat their sandwich and, you know, read a book to their kids. But we're also starting to do, you know, we're doing a cribbage night. We're doing a Magic the Gathering night. We're amending Monday. And we're using the town hall next door, working in collaboration with the select board to have a dance class for kids in Albany. So I think the purpose of the general store does, you know, kind of exceed selling goods.
Right. Right. There's so much to it. And we're so glad that both of you could join us and help highlight the importance of these businesses to our small communities. Ben Doyle, president of the Preservation Trust of Vermont, and Emily McClure of general stores in both Craftsbury and Albany. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank
really
you,
appreciate
Michaela.
It.